Welcome to the Grace Hour Show today. We're a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn about our faith in a practical way. My name is Pastor Gary Grunewald, and I'm here with this famous hero, Pastor Stephen Schiavelli. Don't start. Well, hey, let's build ourselves up a little bit here. And heroes in heaven. And today we're going to be talking about, can the gospel really change the world? Can the gospel affect the world? So that's our subject today. Look forward to talking to you about that. You can send us notes, and we'll respond to them, talk about them. But we're going to dive into this right now. Can the gospel change the world?
I'd like you to read, if you would, for me, Romans 15.
Okay.
If you would.
And, of course.
Starting in verse 9 through 16, if you would.
Okay, Romans 15, 9 through 16. Okay, Romans 15, verse 9. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and loud him, all you people. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit.
Great portion of Scripture.
It is.
In Romans 15, the word, actually Gentiles is, I guess, a decent word in English, but it actually means the nations. The word Gentiles means nations. It appears 10 times in this portion of Scripture. 10 times he's talking about the nations, the nations, the nations. Romans 15 is very unique, as it is a initiation from the Holy Spirit to the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome, and it is all about this message of the gospel, the importance of the gospel to the nations. The word preaching and the word gospel are used 15 times. 15 times the word gospel and the word preaching are used. So we've got 10 times with the nations, 15 times the gospel and preaching. If you put the two together, you bring the gospel and preaching to the nations. And this is really what Paul is calling upon them to do. And I want you to think about this. This was a church, they say not more than 120 people, in a city of 4 million people, one of the largest cities in the world at that time, and very powerful. The power of the Roman government spread, they say, almost as far as India. And that city or that city country controlled the world in some aspects for hundreds and hundreds of years. And as far as the Christian church was known, they were known by two C's, the catacombs and the Colosseum. They lived in the catacombs underground, and they died in the Colosseum. So there was tremendous persecution against the church there. So Paul is writing this epistle to them. And really, it's got so much of an encouraging aspect to it about the importance of them really seeing the vision that God has for the nations and bringing the gospel to the nations. And really, isn't that what the church should be all about the gospel and preaching the gospel and giving the gospel? And what has become oftentimes with the church is nothing but an administrative organization that kind of takes care of itself and says, I'm not going out of the doors of the church because I'm a little bit fearful of what's actually going on in the world. And really, this was not anything that the Church of Rome thought about at the time. and especially having a person like the Apostle Paul preaching to them, teaching to them, and in the ministry of God to them. So this is so key. The gospel, if you look at Romans 15, it's really amazing to me. It mentions the word nations and preaching 15 times. You look at Romans 16, it mentions 36 individuals. Mm. Quite a difference between Romans 15 and 16. And he's writing about the vision, the nations, and preaching. And then in Romans 16, he's talking about the body, the church. I mean, can you imagine he names 36 people in the church? That's incredible that he had personal contact with and knew. So let's get back to this important aspect of bringing the gospel to the nations. And in this portion of scripture, he mentions Jerusalem, which is in Israel, along with Judea. He mentions Illyricum, which is Yugoslavia. He mentions a number of places, Macedonia, Achaia, Spain, Cenchrea, Corinth. He's writing to Rome, Italy. So he actually is connecting there with like nine countries. Nine different countries there. And you can see what's in his mind, what's in his heart, is this great, incredible vision for the nations. What has happened to some of Christianity today? Well, somehow the enemy has stolen the vision. I mean, he can't steal the vision, but he's able to maybe blind people's minds to the glorious gospel, 2 Corinthians 4:4, whereas people don't really have an interest in evangelism, nor do they have an interest in missions. Can you imagine a church that doesn't have any interest in evangelism, personally bringing the gospel to individuals in their neighborhood, their city, wherever they are, at their job, at their place of employment, and then having no vision for the world, not having a vision for the world? When Matthew 28 says, bringing the message, right? Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Mark 16, 15, preach to the nations, to every creature. First Matthew 28, nations. Luke 24, 47, nations. Okay? Think about it. John 20 and 21, bringing the gospel. Acts 1, 7 and 8. Acts 8 into Samaria. Acts 13 into Europe. Okay? Acts 16 into another part, another portion there. Into Asia, Acts 19. Into Rome, Acts 27. So really, this is something that the enemy has done his best to try to hide from the church, and keep the church maybe boxed in to its own little situation, always looking in. I think oftentimes people always looking in and never looking out. That's why there's so many problems in churches today. Because really, when I can take a look in maybe situations I'm going through in my life and my personal problems, but when I look out and I see somebody who's lost and they're on the way to hell, I don't have a problem. They have the problem. They have the problem. They are lost. And the gospel's hid from them, and the gospel needs to come to them. So Paul is talking to this incredible church, which was not very large, and giving them a commission to bring this gospel to individual places. And he names all of them, as we just talked about them. And he talks about, I like 15:20. Did you read 15:20
yes.
for me?
Yea,
Romans 15:20.
Romans 15:20. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation.
So striving, and actually the way that interprets in the Greek language is I have an ambition. I have an ambition, not striving like we might think of striving, which is like maybe a legalistic thought pattern in people's minds. But I have an ambition, a spiritual ambition to bring this gospel message. And I think that's what churches should be all about.
Okay.
I think no matter whether you're a church of 10 people, 15 people, 50 people, 100 people, 1,000 people, that it doesn't change God's calling, God's purpose, and the message. So that's what we want to talk about today.
Oh, this is great.
Yeah, this is what we want to talk about today.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about this tonight. You're all welcome to come to Bible class tonight between 6 and 8. We're teaching every Friday night still for another few weeks, and everybody is welcome to come. But really, this is such an important mission, such an important idea. And maybe you don't have a positive thought pattern towards missions and evangelism and whatnot. Okay.
Okay, but break it down.
But like, could God do that? Could God put that in somebody's heart? See, there are people that maybe they're intimidated through fear. They're intimidated by the faces of people and whatnot. And Nelson said one time, I don't fear the face of clay. And really interesting statement. But we could be praying about this. Mm-hmm. A leadership in a church could pray about this, the importance of prayer and believing God that we can reach people. I mean, what are we here to do anyway? I mean, are we here to establish some kingdom on earth? Of course, you want to bring godly principles into school systems and into the government and into the world system. But it really is to be here to tell people about this gospel that are lost, and those people that are saved, to train them and instruct them in the importance of the word of God and having God's thinking patterns in their mind.
Okay, great. That's beautiful. Let's talk there about, okay, you go in, because maybe someone's just, say, intimidated by the world. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's a big thing, the nations, okay?
Sure.
Let's go, tell me about discipling people. You know what I mean? Like a soul, you know, like your vision for a soul. Say someone that's in your
church. One person.
Yeah. You
mean like one person in my neighborhood, one person in my church.
Yeah, either one. Yeah, those are two different people. Let's talk about those two people.
Number one, do I see the importance of bringing the gospel to the person that's next door to me?
Yeah.
And maybe they're not going to listen. So go to another door and another door. You say, well, I'm not good at going to doors. Well, pray and ask God to give you a desire. I mean,
no, say that again.
Pray, give me a desire to see people get saved.
Yeah.
I mean, is that important? Do I really understand the gospel? It's good news.
Right.
Now, wait a minute. I'm saved. So is that where it stays?
Is it really this simple? Yeah. Now, think about it.
It really is.
It's like simple. Pray. Okay, so I'm a Bible college student, and maybe I don't have a vision for souls. I don't know why I'm in Bible college, maybe. But if you start thinking about loving your neighbor, right?
Right.
Going to your neighbor, how can I? And I get rejected. So do you stop there? No, you don't. It's like God has a vision.
Somebody at work, right? Who, Pastor Gary?
Yeah.
I mean, and by the way, you can start by just praying. Like, I mean, would God answer this prayer? I'm going to pray a prayer. Lord, I pray that the person that's working with me would get to know Jesus Christ as a Savior. What's God going to say? No, I'm not interested in that prayer.
Yeah.
Shut up. No, that's not going to happen. God's heart. God is not willing that any perish.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And I'm not telling you to strive in the flesh to make things happen. I'm talking about really having my heart touched, my mind, my emotions, my will, my conscience, my self-image touched by the importance of the gospel. This is so key, because you will find out that as far as evangelism is concerned, there's not a whole lot of churches and people that have a great interest in that. Or they think, oh, TV will do it, or the media will do it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I really believe face-to-face is far superior to anything that can happen electronically. Thank God for that, which happens with media, okay? But that's not the answer. That's not the answer. And what does that do for me personally, okay? What does it do for me? So to be able to communicate to somebody the gospel in a frail way, in a very simple way. And by the way, it's really, I remember David Livingstone said, as far as the gospel is concerned, keep it simple, keep it scriptural, and keep it suited to the people. Three S's.
Yeah.
Keep it simple. That doesn't mean simple-minded, but very clear. Keep it simply clear, something very clear. Keep it scriptural, and identification, may it be suited to the people. And I'm sure that God will do that, and God will open up that door if I'm willing to even ask that, if I'm even willing to pray that prayer. You know, one time a man said, I think it was Spurgeon who said, he hopes that one day that he doesn't come to a place where there's a statue of a soul winner, a man with a Bible and a tract in his hand, and people would say, this is the way it used to be.
Oh, wow. Yes.
You know, that's what he said. He said, I really pray that doesn't happen to the church, you know, to the church overall. Individually, that's up to every individual. But overall, churches and church leadership, I think they get so occupied with everything else.
Yeah.
But I really believe if I get occupied with the message of the gospel, God will take care of everything else.
The message of the gospel.
The message of the gospel. Yeah. He'll take care of the organization. He'll take care of the finances. He'll take care of the building. He'll take care of the location. He'll take care of all of these things, all the opposition that's coming against me.
That sounds simple, but
it sounds simple.
But you know what happens when you give the gospel? Your heart gets changed personally, because you give the simplicity of the gospel. And you see it's grace and it's just believing, right?
I'm hearing it again.
I'm hearing it myself again,
saying, wow, what a great message this is. I receive this message and really how important it is. And I think that this is what has been something that has gone and turned in another way in Christianity today.
Yeah.
And there are still places where you can see there's a lot of evangelism taking place, certain countries. And I can mention a few of them. Like they say, Korea was very, very instrumental in bringing the gospel to its nation, the Korean Christians, South Korea, you know, and they're targeting the North too.
Yeah.
I think it's very important that churches have a vision and pray. See, they say there's two things that are really lacking in churches today. Talking to God about people, prayer meeting, and talking to people about God, evangelical outreach.
Yeah.
The two talkings are missing. In other words, there's a lot of talking going on, but talking to God about people, situations in life, prayer, having a prayer life, and then talking to people about God.
Oh, this is great.
Really, really interesting how those are the two things that the enemy is going to attack.
Yeah.
Just stop talking. You know?
Let's think of a pastor in, just say in Frederick County, you know, Western, you know, he's cornfields are around him or trees or whatever.
Can't talk to them, but
what does he do to start? Is, you know, he prays, he talks to God, he goes to the grocery store, he tries to talk to somebody, he gets rejected. He tells his church about the vision. They try. Tell about presenting this vision and a pastor starting this in his local assembly.
I think, first of all, he realizes that somebody talked to him.
Whether
it was in media or personally, a door knocking or whatever, which something is very rare today. You know, in fact, somebody knocked on my door with the gospel.
Somebody talked to me.
And I was very glad about that, you know.
Yeah.
Even recently in Parkville, you know, some people are going door to door.
Yeah.
I think it was a Baptist church. And let's say this so that I pray, God, you give me this heart. That's where I've got to start. I've got to start with me and God. God, I need to have your thoughts. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Therefore, my ways are not your ways.
Mm.
Isaiah 55:8-10. So if my thoughts are not God's thoughts, my ways will not be God's ways. But if my thoughts are with the thoughts of God, then I'll realize that God is concerned with the gospel message going out. Just read through the New Testament. I mean, it's so evident, unless you're a blind reader, you're just reading focused on your own ideas of subjectivity. And secondly, so I'm going to pray, I'm going to read the scriptures, I'm going to be convinced in my mind that this is the will of God. God is not willing that any perish. Then I'm going to pray, God, help me, okay? Then I'm going to preach. And I'm going to say this, too. Maybe 9 out of 10 people that you talk to will say no.
Right.
Maybe it's 10%.
That's the reality.
Yeah. So don't get upset with God. Don't get upset with yourself. Don't become insecure. You know, really, this is how it is. And even if somebody says no, you've given them an opportunity to say no. That's
right.
Part of preaching.
Yeah.
It isn't preaching all, you know, oh, nobody got saved, so I'm not going to do this anymore. No, no, no. Preaching is giving people an opportunity to say no. And some can say yes.
Yeah.
They're saying no, but they've heard it. And maybe you say it to them, and maybe 5 times up the road, you're the first person, and there's the sixth time they hear it, okay?
Yeah.
And they say yes to God. You know, you might be the beginning. You might be the person, the sowing and what the watering, that whole principle there. So don't get discouraged with that at all and whatnot. And don't even say to yourself, I don't know if I know even how to present this at all. My goodness, you know, a little child could do it. You know, Jesus loves you. That's
right.
What somebody said to me the first time I met somebody with the gospel. They just simply said, do you know that Jesus loves you? And I said, like, I'm not interested. I don't care. But those words rang in my ears for years until I got saved. So you don't have to have this theological dissertation on 10 points of the gospel that I need to give you. So sit down and listen. God loves you and he wants you to receive that love.
Yeah.
It's for you personally.
Yeah, isn't it?
It's like the message.
Yeah. And it's like when you have God's message, you also have God's heart. You're sensitive to people and you're listening to God as you speak to them. And then all of a sudden you realize words came out of your mouth that you never knew that you had before, right? And it's like God is giving that person, he's watering or he's planting. You don't know what he's doing, but he's doing something in that person's life.
And I like what Paul said here in Romans 1, 14 through 16. Dr. Stevens used to say was the three I ams of the gospel. First of all, he says, I'm a debtor. I have an obligation. Ooh, nobody likes that word, do they? I have an obligation. I'm a debtor to the gospel. I have an obligation. Why, who's going to bring it? Okay, number two, I'm ready. Prothumo, I have a forward mind. Not only am I do I have an obligation, I have a mind that's looking forward. And then number three, I am not ashamed. I don't shrink down from that. So I am debtor, I am ready, and I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The three I ams of the gospel, amazing.
Well,
those are amazing.
That is. Like think of that. Like you said, like, you know, the problems in the church are taken care of if we do the gospel. Sure. Think of that person. If he feels a debtor, think of his motive, his meditation. He's thinking about God. He's thinking about the way God works in his life. And then his mind is thinking on God. Do you think he's going to have unity, oneness? Do you think, like, you know, he's ready? He's ready for the things of God. And then he says, I'm not ashamed.
I'm not going to shrink down.
I know
that's what the word means.
I'm not going to shrink down. This actually works in my life. Why should I shrink down?
Right.
And all of a sudden, this man has the power of God in his life.
But Pastor Gary, do we believe the Bible?
Well, this is the thing. This is the thing. Do we believe if a person believes, they become a child of God?
And they can go to heaven. I think a lot of Christians, even born-again Christians, don't believe in hell.
They don't believe that.
They don't believe in hell.
If we go back to that, they don't believe in
hell. They say, they would agree theologically, but really, do I understand that there is a heaven and there is a hell? And really, the gospel was so important to the Apostle Paul. It was important to the 11. They all died really horrible deaths, the 11 that were left there after Judas hung himself on a tree. And this gospel message, listen to this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul uses the word preaching in the gospel 15 times. This is to a church that was backslidden. Mm-hmm. What's he saying to them? Just concentrate on the gospel.
Works.
He'll take care of these problems that you have. These money problems, these problems with different women trying to usurp authority, all the problems of finances and all these things that are taking place, meat sacrifice to idols, all the things that took place from 1 Corinthians 1, the wisdom of the Greeks, the Jews, the stumbling blocks, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter all the way to chapter 9. And then he says, don't hinder the gospel, 9:12. Then he says in 9:14, preach the gospel. 9:14, live the gospel. 9:16, preach the gospel. 9:16, necessity of the gospel. 9:16, woe if I don't bring the gospel. 9:17, I'm willing with the gospel. 9:17, the gospel is committed to me. 9:18, preach the gospel. 9:18, I preach it without charge. 9:18, the power of the gospel. 9:19, the gain of the gospel. 9:24, the race of the gospel. 9:25, the fight of the gospel.
Wow.
I mean, it's just chapter 9 is loaded with the gospel to the Corinthians, you know, the Corinthians. And so, I don't know. Look at Romans 1 and 1 Corinthians 9. Study those portions of scripture. And God, give me this heart. Give me this thought pattern.
I think you're old-fashioned. I think you're old-fashioned.
Bible-fashioned.
Hey, I like that. I like that. This is beautiful. Romans chapter, you said Romans chapter 1. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 9.
I mean, those are two amazing chapters. You could certainly go to Romans 15, which mentioned the word nations 10 times. Romans 16, 36 people. But really just keying on it. See, study. Here's things to study. Maybe I'm struggling. And I study these things all the time because I know I can easily just neglect the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy to do that. I study Matthew 28, 18 through 20. I study Mark. I mean, study them and meditate on it. Mark 16, 15, Luke 24, 47, John 20 and 21, Acts 1, 7 and 8, Acts 8, Acts 9, 10 and 11, Acts 13 and 14, Acts 16 through 20, Acts 27. Study those things. I don't have a mind to do it. Okay. All right. Thank you. You don't have a mind. How about getting God? Do you want God's mind? No, I don't. Okay. I can't help you then. Okay.
Wow.
Yes, I want God's mind. I'd like to know what God thinks about the gospel and missions and souls. These are the chapters. These are the things to look at. Of course, there's so many other. The book of Jonah. I mean, God put Jonah in a fish and spit him up on his mission field.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That can happen. All of a sudden, you find yourself in the place you never wanted to go. And you're there. You know, a job took me here. No, God took you there. Just didn't realize it.
This is healthy for the church.
Yes.
This is healthy for the way the church should actually think, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In other words, how I think, how does the church think? This
about
is so key.
A soul, about the gospel? Is a person changed by this? I mean, like, you think about changing the nations. I mean, we see what happened in Korea. You know, this is, you could say, in our lifetime. You know what I mean? This is something that that we've seen happen. We hear it. We hear it happening in China.
Africa.
In Africa, you know, these are places, Mongolia, they say the gospel is open, right?
Pastor Fred was just there, right?
Pastor Fred was just there.
For some places. And by the way,
for the gospel.
And when it's not open, that doesn't mean we shouldn't preach. In other words, like, is America open or not open? Well, either way, okay? But still, if I'm rejected and the message is rejected, don't take it personal. It's not, you're not being rejected. Jesus Christ is being rejected.
Yeah.
Our problem is we take everything so personal, you know, and oh my God, and we become insecure and whatnot. And we got some comments up there.
Well,
I think they're good comments. I think, yes.
They said we're faithful pastors. The Apostle Paul called to bring the glorious gospel to the Gentiles. That's us. Bring the gospel to individuals is what changes the world.
Changes the world into
the world. Laird Bean said that. Yeah. God's love does the eternal work.
I was talking to somebody on the phone today. They called me, and I knocked on their door in, I think, 35 years ago, okay?
Yeah.
And they still listen to Grace Hour. They still listen to the messages and whatnot. They're in another part of the United States that maybe they're not too close, but it's amazing because it's the power of God unto salvation for them who believe. It changes people's lives. Think about it. What can take place? And so many people are so concerned about politics and other things like that. But you know what? How about the gospel message?
Well, think about, like, okay, we're talking about souls, right?
Yeah.
We're thinking about souls of people. And you're thinking about your own soul also. When you're concerned about souls like this, I want to be healed. I know it's healthy by the gospel. And I'm also thinking about other people then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, souls are like a treasure that's on this earth.
Last forever. Like, guess what? Heaven, here's a great verse, Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth will pass away. Say goodbye to Baltimore. Say goodbye to America. Say goodbye to Asia, Africa, South America. It's all going, okay? But what's staying? An individual.
Mm.
A soul is worth, that's why a soul is worth more than the whole world, because the whole world is passing away. How many churches are so involved with the things of this world, really, and not with individual souls? I would say a church that doesn't evangelize should close.
Okay, so
how's that one?
You told us a story. I mean, you told the story of, didn't you have a problem with elders once and you took them soul winning? Just, I mean, we take that that's a great context for that story in what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
Because if we don't think about souls, if we think about church organization and we start to think about that and we don't start thinking about souls, what are we really trying to solve? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're trying to live naturally. So tell that story, you did.
Well, they're not occupied with what God is occupied with.
Yeah.
And of course, we need to have a concern about church administration. We're not saying that.
Right.
Of course
right.
There is budgets. There's all kinds of things like that, the music and whatnot, church services and whatnot. But if that becomes a priority over people, in other words, that's a priority over people. So I'm just going to train and teach people that are saved. I don't care about lost people. What am I teaching saved people then? Am I imparting any vision? Paul said he came to impart the gospel. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. I imparted to you my own soul also. Not just the gospel of God, but my own soul. So this is so key. And this is the thing that the enemy is going to attack. If he can attack anything in a church, is to prevent them from bringing the message to people.
Yes.
Wherever it may be. Yeah. And this is certainly, I mean, England at one time was so key in missions and the gospel. And then it seems like it went the other way. And I really believe because of the attack of the enemy, it went the other way. And I don't know what their influence now is with the gospel and evangelism in churches in England. I have no idea. I don't think it's a lot. I don't think it's very large, you know?
Yeah.
And so what will he do? Well, the reason why, there's two reasons why America is attacked. Number one, it stands behind Israel. Number two, the power of the gospel. The churches of America bringing the gospel into all the world. And do you know that 80% of all missions money comes from the United States?
How much?
80%.
80%.
80%. And something like 75% of all missionaries come from America, the American church. Now, that's how it was. I don't know what those statistics are right now.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's amazing. And we can't lose this. If we lose this vision, this purpose, this calling, this heart, this energy, we lose this, then we've lost a lot. And we've lost a lot. And can it be gotten back in the last days? What do you think the enemy's trying to do? He doesn't want propagation of the gospel. He doesn't want the gospel going into China. You know? I mean, I remember sitting on a bench in China and talking to a person in China, a woman in China, and she looked at me and she says, "Do you have Holy Bible?" "I don't have Holy Bible." And I gave her my Bible, you know? I mean, can you imagine? No Bibles.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where I believe Bible smuggling is the best thing to do. It's a good thing. Oh, that's illegal. Ah, be quiet. Whatever, you know? Come and talk to me about that if you want to, you know? You know, what are you talking about? Jesus... It was illegal for Jesus to rise from the dead, to break the seals of the Roman government when they put it on a tomb. It was illegal.
Mm.
So, you know, I'm not trying to break the law
right.
everywhere I can, but I'm just saying, you know, like bringing the Bible to people, bringing the message to people. I'm sure we got some more.
Okay. Richard, we're encouraging ourselves by Obario. The Father's heart. Rabario. Yes.
He's in Oman, I think.
Oh, maybe that's Richard.
Maybe
that's
I shouldn't Richard. Even say that. I don't know. Too bad. It's too late now.
Okay. He runs for the younger son, even for elder son. He runs for younger son, even for the elder son. He helps us to run by faith here.
Yeah, the father ran.
Yeah.
Father ran when the prodigal
son.
I saw
his message before that. I'm sure prodigal son's life changed when the father ran and hugged him.
Right.
He was loved. He was loved by someone.
Right.
Because he was lost and now he's found. The gospel brings back the lost and makes the dead alive. It's the power of God.
And don't you think even at the what's known as the great white throne judgment, when somebody will say, "Well, I never, what do you mean? This is not fair." And God's going to say, "I sent this person that day to you and you said no."
Mm.
You said no. Okay?
Yeah.
So I think God's going to remind people of that. It's not going to be, they're just going to get up there and say, "I never heard the gospel." And he's going to say, "Yes, you heard the gospel." And, you know, some people want to ask the question, like, what about places where they've never heard? Well, you know what? I'm not going to answer that question.
Don't we believe in the power of God in that? And God to reveal himself. He's a just God. He's a just God. He has the ability to do that. And we're tools. We're tools.
He can lead people just by them looking at heavens declare the glory of God, you know? That there's something beyond me. I didn't make these stars and this moon and this earth and all that. So, but look, getting back to that point, the importance of us just seeing that people need Jesus Christ, you know, people need Jesus Christ. That's why we evangelize here. That's why we go out. That's why we bring our high school out, you know, and maybe some people are not too happy about that, but that's okay. Okay. I didn't come to make people happy anyway. I mean, we had schools in Africa and I would always take the students on evangelism, you know. And the parents would come and say, "We are not for doing that." I said, "Here's a list of Christian schools. Take them someplace else.
Yeah.
You know, this is our Christian school, and we're going to have it be a certain way." So I think that's very important, that there's a message. We've got to keep promoting this message. And even though it seems like Christianity is going in another direction in regards to promoting the message, that we've got to be diligent.
Yeah.
We're diligent and we're sure and we're standing on a foundation bringing this message to a lost and dying world. And I was thinking about this, like I think we're in 76 countries.
Right.
76 countries, I think. Sometimes I don't get my figures right, so forgive me. 76 countries, and there's 30 to 31,000 people coming to church. And this all came from a man, much more than a man, but a man had a vision in Maine.
Yeah.
And then he was a tool certainly that people used, like Pastor version. Schaller and incredible people around the world took the vision. I know that. But it began someplace, you know?
Yeah.
It began with God himself, and then God speaks to a man. And a man gets a vision in Maine, and the man decides to start a church and win souls, have a Bible college and have training, and it can go into all the world. Can you imagine the seed?
Yeah.
You know, just dropping somebody somewhere, you know, dropping Pastor Stan Collins in South America,
right?
Dropping a Mati Servio somewhere, dropping Pastor Schaller somewhere, dropping these people someplace, and all of a sudden things begin to happen. It's incredible.
It is.
And it's the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation for those who believe.
Yes.
And I've got to realize that. In other words, I could become a multimillionaire versus winning one soul. What does God say about that?
Yeah, I was thinking of I spoke to someone about Montenegro today. But like, you know, as I envision it, when you talk about nations,
uh-huh.
you start to think about one person. I think about like one tall guy there, you know, Montenegro is a tall country, like 15 years old, believing. And I want to envision like that guy getting saved. And I don't know, maybe an old lady will get saved or a couple or, you know, somebody from another country besides Montenegro. But we envision people. You know, like Paul had this heart for the people mm-hmm. of Rome and what it could actually do. And he was a debtor for the gospel. And
4 million people. I mean, like, what can this group of people do in a place that's 4 million, you know, and whatnot? And yet we can see how it's spiritually contagious. And somebody receives it. Somebody else tells somebody else and just goes on and on and on. And this is how it all begins. This is how it began. This is how it began in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. By the way, did you ever notice that he skipped Galilee? When he gave the commission, he said Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world.
He didn't want them
Why
to go.
Why did he skip Galilee?
He didn't want them to
they
go
They were
back.
All Galileans.
He didn't want them to go there, or why?
Well, I don't know, you know? Yeah. Just an interesting question, isn't it? Like, if you have an answer, call us up and tell us. But it seems like, why didn't he mention Galilee? Because for them, maybe for others it was okay, for them it really wasn't given as an option.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Maybe they would become very familiar. So we need to bring the gospel. America was instrumental. God bless America, because I said two things. Stands behind Israel, and it propagates the gospel. All the money and all the missionaries come from this country. This country has an amazing spiritual heritage to it. That's why we have to pray for America. We have to pray, and we have to promote this gospel message in America continuously, regardless of the outcome, regardless of what's going on with the media and the radio and TV. Thank God for that. We're on the media now. But what about door to door, face to face? He says, my joy will be full in 2nd and 3rd John. He said at the end of both of those epistles, when I see you face to face.
Beautiful.
There's nothing like it.
Beautiful.
Nothing
so,
like it. Are we still here? We got a lot of comments.
We're getting comments. Yeah. Okay. It was, we got one right here. Great point, Pastor Gary, envisioning people getting saved. I remember Pastor Stephen said that. You imagine people getting saved and the country turning into Christ. Yes,
faith
we have
vision.
This faith vision. Exactly. Yes. And and it happened
it may
at
take
times
time.
Overnight and other times. Yeah, decades.
I mean, time is like, why should we be thinking about that? It might take time in with someone or in some place.
Yeah.
Okay? And maybe you could be like when Judson spent 6 years before he had his first convert in Burma. And then do you know that the whole country had the Bible after that? But it took 6 years for a convert. And he would be in one of those zayats, like this kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of a covering made by palm trees and stuff like that. He would be in there just in a place where there was four ways to go. And he would be sitting there, you know, and giving people the gospel. And it took 6 years for a convert. How, and by the way, not only that, he had some real personal problems with his own physical health and the passing of his wife and his children that passed too. And yet it never stopped him. That today, if you look at the Bible in Burma, it's Judson's Bible.
Beautiful.
The Bible today is Judson's Bible. I asked two Burmese men one time in my office in Baltimore here, like, do you know anything? Have you ever heard about somebody named Judson? Both of them started to cry. In my
There's
office,
a man that changed
they
the
said
nation.
This that man changed. God used him to change our country.
Yeah,
that's amazing what can happen. So you could bring the gospel to a person, and you have no idea where it will go.
Amen, Pastor Shabelli. Thank you for being with us today. This is beautiful, and I just, you know, we're with you, but you're a man that has believed that you're a spiritual inspiration to many of us. What you're saying, I take to heart, and you've mm-hmm. lived this life, Pastor Belli, and you've believed it, and you've shown us that it actually works. So thank you. Thanks for what you shared
Hallelujah.
Today.
Hallelujah.
And a pastor, if he was listening, he's got a message here prepared from 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and
tonight.
Romans chapter 1. Okay, and tonight.
We got a Pastor, message tonight. You can come. It's all about the gospel.
Tonight is about the gospel tonight in the Bible college here. So thank you for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe and to show on YouTube, the Apple Broadcast, the Google Podcast, and Spotify, and more. Be sure to join us for our next show on Monday, and we're going to be talking about the gospel, I'm sure, okay, and the power of the gospel into salvation. So thanks for listening today.